What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to Take the Black Live. I am Dan Selke, the host of the editor of winterscoming.net, here with Cheryl Wassenaar, the editor of Cultures. How are you doing today, Cheryl?
I'm good, Dan. How are you?
Really well. You seem a little happy. Glad to see that. And we're here to talk about all things Game of Thrones and A Song of Ice and Fire.
Dan was cracking jokes right before we went live, so that's why I'm cracking up right now.
I was speaking truth.
Well, that too, but it was funny.
Yes. And thanks everybody who's showed up. Hey, Kathy. Everyone. Hey, Diane. Hey, Daniel. Hey, Lauren. Glad to see you all. And we have a bit of a somber topic today.
Oh, no. I better stop laughing now, huh?
Some people get uncomfortable and they laugh in times of pain. You can do that.
Okay.
But the topic is endings. Game of Thrones is almost over. And what we're seeing now is more and more prominent cast members just kind of letting us know that they're finished and really saying their goodbyes to the show.
Right. Right.
Like in very explicit ways. And I thought we would take some opportunity to just kind of talk about what they're saying, how we feel about
and how
we're going to say goodbye to Game of Thrones
process.
As fans and as a community, because it's going to be a process. We don't have to quite
Absolutely.
Yet. But for right now, people are saying goodbye. For example, Sophie Turner, Sansa Stark, of course, around Sansa Stark, got this pretty cool tattoo.
It is pretty
that
sweet.
That says, "The Pack Survived," which is so sweet, isn't it?
It is. It also made everyone start theorizing about what it means.
They did, which is ridiculous. I mean, I saw some places where like, oh, was it a spoiler for season 8? Like, no, it's somebody. I mean, it said to me, clearly, it said just, this is a person who's been on this show for 8 years of their life.
Yeah.
And now they're done, and they're getting a tattoo to commemorate it.
Yes.
That's what it said to me.
I mean, I'm not above saying that, like, maybe it kind of indicates, but it's something for season 8. But at the same time, like, it's been a theme of the show, and the Starks is a family, even though Game of Thrones has also killed off the majority of them.
Half.
A solid half.
Mm-hmm.
I was an English major. Math's not my strong suit. But, you know, that kind of idea that this collective unit is still going to survive somehow.
Yeah, or just, to me, just like the the memory and the cast and the family that she formed there will survive.
Aw, that's much deeper.
I just think it's a
nicer.
I mean, it makes the most sense to me. I think
it does.
It
does make a lot of sense.
And anyway, after that, Emilia Clarke posted an Instagram post that was very emotional.
Yeah.
Writing, "Hopped on a boat to an island to say goodbye to the land that has been my home away from home for almost a decade. It's been a trip, Game of Thrones. Thank you for the life I never dreamed I'd be able to live and the family I'll never stop missing. Hashtag last season it is. Hashtag broken heart."
I think she meant last season-itis.
Oh, I don't know.
Like senioritis?
I don't. Oh, is it? Probably. The point is, it's very sweet, and she is bidding an official goodbye to the show.
Right.
Which, again, I mean, it's got to be pretty intense, right? For people who, if you devote your life to this for years and years and years.
Especially for the younger members of the cast where they've effectively kind of grown up literally grew up. The show. Right. You know, like Isaac Hempstead Wright, Williams, even Sophie Turner and Amelia Clarke.
Oh, totally.
Have all kind of...
Clarke and even Harrington into that. I mean, they might not have, like, been... youngins, like 11-year-olds, but they their careers were made with this show.
Basically, like, their formative years.
The show made them into stars. Right. It's just, it's very emotional.
It is.
By the way, hey to Catherine from Dairy City, Wet and Windy. Lauren Grothstrom's with Anger. We'll get to that in a minute. And finally, this is the one that kind of really said to me, oh, it's really over, more than anything else.
Right.
Kit Harington plays Jon Snow, talking to, I think it was Entertainment Weekly.
Yes, it was.
Said that after the show is done shooting, he's going to cut his hair short.
But then he said he's going to keep the beard.
Yeah, which is fine. Get the beard.
Which made me think of Oscar Isaac in Ex Machina, if anyone watching or listening has seen that movie, where he's got very close-cropped hair and then the beard.
I can see
like,
it.
Now I just keep picturing Kit Harington with the same aesthetic.
Those iconic locks.
They are impressive.
I mean, you think of Game of Thrones, you think dragons, you think White Walkers, and you think Jon Snow's hair. To me, it's those three things.
Pretty much. I mean, it's not wrong.
And just the idea that they're going to be gone, it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird to look at.
It is going
to
be weird, but at the same time, we also get one last look at them in 2019.
You do.
So that'll make the going a little easier.
And I'm sure when he goes to like a midlife crisis, he'll grow him back for fun.
Yeah.
But they'll be gone for a long time.
Can't blame him, though.
Honestly, that is what's going to signal to me it's really over. When I see a picture of Kit Harington out in public with short cropped hair, I think that's going to be when I kind of like have my breakdown moment like, oh my God, it's actually done. It's over.
What are you going to do with yourself, Dan?
We'll have to see. You'll just hear like a shriek from my desk and you'll know
You don't have to shriek. I sit right across from you.
I'm sorry, but you're going to hear one.
Whimpering will suffice.
I don't make any promises.
Good thing I always keep headphones on me.
Exactly. So anyway, they're all saying goodbye.
Right.
We're going to have to say goodbye.
We do.
Are there any... Have you ever gone through this process, Shales? Was there ever like a fandom that you were a part of, or a show or TV show or book series that you loved that came to an end and you had to kind of reckon with it? Because Game of Thrones is a big part of... not just pop culture consciousness, but I mean, a lot of people are very passionate about it. I mean,
it's true.
It's why we can do the show. We love the show. And it's like anything else. When something comes to an end, there's a bittersweetness to it.
It's true. I mean, I've had to say goodbye to shows like Sailor Moon, which was a big thing when I was a child. I'm dating myself very clearly. you know, it kind of fell off the radar when I was a kid. And, like, I never stopped loving Sailor Moon, but it became really hard to, like, seek out new things about it. Like, you know, you would get into sort of the fandom community because it never really died necessarily. It just kind of went underground a little bit. And then they revived the show in my college years. And now I'm right back on the train. But there is that kind of sense of the fandom's never going to go away so much.
No, it's like a...
It's more just, it's going to change forms a little
bit. It's like the relationship dies, but the love lasts forever.
Yes. But maybe not as relationship, I don't know. But yes, it's pretty...
In some ways, a show that you love is like a relationship. You know it very well. You study it. You spend a lot of time with it.
This metaphor is getting...
accurate.
I mean,
when it's over, you have to move on.
I mean, okay, sure. I'll give you that one.
Tori Lost, of course. She was taken by
Lost. Yes.
Stuff like that. I can see it.
It's more kind of... It's never going to go away. Like, we're going to be able to rewatch the show over and over.
Oh, yeah.
There's a reason.
And they're already prepping spinoffs and stuff.
Exactly. There's going to be spinoffs, basically like a snap of the fingers. We're going to be more Game of Thrones immediately. So in a lot of ways, I think... what the Game of Thrones community fandom is going to have to go through is going to be different from a lot of other shows just because we already know that there's a spinoff. We're not going to have to pray for a revival. We're not going to have to beg Netflix to save the show. We're not going to have to, you know, plead.
Can you imagine that? Having to beg Netflix to save Game of Thrones.
I'm right. Like, dear Hulu, please make season 9 of Game of Thrones. Like, that's not going to happen.
No.
So in a lot of ways, I think the fandom is going to have a different
some closure,
reckoning.
Maybe.
Right. You know, we have the closure for Game of Thrones, but mm-hmm. we know that it's not an end, but an and to.
I love that. It's a nice one.
I stole that.
Oh.
From Super Junior, one of my favorite K-pop groups. But that's kind of the lesson I'm taking from it, is that it's never going to really end in a lot of ways. It's just going to take a different form.
Right. And I mean, like, fandoms like Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings are mm-hmm. around for, you know, a very long time after their official thing is over. And in Star Wars, too, I expect Game of Thrones to join that pantheon, and it'll just be a...
It'll become
a star in the sky of pop culture love.
And now we're getting to Lion King sort of things.
I'm on the metaphor roll today.
You are.
Anyway, let's go to some comments really quickly.
Let's do it.
Lauren Groth. It's like, even if everyone survives, everyone dies. Oh, that's another sweet one.
Whoa.
I don't want a life with knowing what shit Tyrion is up to. His character development has been so random in the most perfect way. Fair enough. So will the...
Write some fan fiction.
That's a good point. We should talk about that. I'm fascinated by that whole world.
Fan fiction?
Yeah. It's very interesting.
How so?
What draws people to do it? What makes them want to go inside that world and get inside their heads? But that's not getting enough topic.
That's for another show.
It really is. I don't read it, but the idea is fascinating to me.
I do, so that's a topic for another show.
Anyway, we're not done yet. We're talking about saying goodbye, but there is still things happening on the set of Game of Thrones Season 8, and we're going to talk about them right now.
Let's do it.
Some new things still coming together. Nikolaj Coster-Waldau, who plays Jaime Lannister, always mm-hmm. a pretty good font of information because he kind of has a loose mouth. A
little bit.
Confirmed that he is not done filming. He's going back. He's filmed Jaime's final scene. You know, crossing the fingers for Brienne marriage or getting eaten by a dragon, whatever.
Porque no los dos?
He gave away a bit of a spoiler, so cover your ears, like, cover one ear. It's not that bad of a spoiler. But he revealed, Nikolaj Coster-Waldau, that Jaime will share scenes with Davos Seaworth next year, and he's looking forward to that. Which, yeah, are you into that scene?
Yes! Davos and Jaime are like my... Like, I want Davos and Jaime to be my two terrible uncles. So the fact that they're together being terrible uncles, like, is going to delight me to no end. I don't care if the scene's not funny. I will find a way to be amused by it.
Fair enough. Like, you're actually being dramatic. I mean, yeah, I'm excited by that. Those are two great characters.
It's
why
true.
Won't we have a scene together?
Two very well-acted characters.
And we'll develop with, like, mm-hmm. you know, the great thing about Game of Thrones at this point is that everyone's so well-developed and just right. had these journeys, so it's fun to see them clash this late in the game.
Exactly.
Makes sense. They'll be at Winterfell. I'm looking forward to see what they bring. Mm-hmm. What else? We also know that, not a huge surprise, but Lyanna Mormont, Bella Ramsey will be back in Season 8, the pint-sized ruler of Bear Island. Always happy to see her.
I just want her to pull out a sword because she said she's not going to sit knitting while other men fight for her. So
it'd be tiny. It'd be like needle-sized.
It's okay.
But
maybe a bow.
Yeah, well, a bow, I don't know. A bow's kind of hard to pull for a little girl. But if Arya can try it, I don't see why not.
I believe that Lyanna Mormont can do anything she wants, so...
I was going to say we didn't get, like, a Lyanna Mormont and Arya scene last season.
That would be great.
That would make sense, right? I feel like those two would click.
Mm-hmm.
Although Arya did mention her. They did click. And finally... Kathy mentioned Star Trek 2, another fandom that has survived long past its original run.
It's true.
Fans keep these things alive. It'll be fascinating to see where Game of Thrones goes. And finally, on the set of King's Landing in Belfast,
yes.
things are still very much happening. It's still rolling. I know these actors are saying their goodbyes, but you wouldn't think it by looking at what's happening on the actual set.
It's true.
I mean, for example, at the King's Landing set in Belfast, they're still rolling in this thick fog over the place.
Mm-hmm.
The buildings are still demolished. There are still cameras in place. It's still mm-hmm. very much happening. And we know it's fog, I believe, of an image, because it's lying very low to the ground and is gray rather than black.
This is some science.
Thank you to Corey Smith of Winter is Coming for pointing that out.
Science.
So fog in King's Landing rolling eerily over the buildings.
Yes.
You know what it says to me?
What does it say, Dan?
It says, Army of the Dead, White Walker invasion of King's Landing. Doesn't it?
A little bit.
Because fog. I mean, fog is what rolls in before the Army of the Dead comes, right?
I mean, sure, but maybe it's just a cold front.
King's Landing is a cold front.
King's Landing is on the sea, and it did start snowing at the end of season 7.
Very possible.
You know, so it's not impossible that it's something else cold and wintry. But White Walker seems like a very logical conclusion.
I think so too.
But maybe it's just a cold front.
We've also seen smoke, like actual black, right, wafty smoke, which, right, implies dragons. So just King's Landing, the takeaway is it's going to get a beating in season 8.
I mean, seems legit. Well, then again, didn't it, in Daenerys' vision in the House of the Undying, isn't there snow?
There is. Oh, yeah.
In the ruined hole of the Red Keep?
Yeah,
so
she has this
vision
where
she walks
in. It could
be a cold front after all, Dan.
But what brings the cold front, Cheryl? Winter? The White Walkers. They are winter.
Well, that's true. So, deep question. Is it just weather, or is it something more magical?
It's more magical. I'm calling it now. I'm resolving that deep question. But you're right. She goes in. The Red Keep is, she's inside the throne room.
Right.
It's got a big hole in the ceiling.
Right.
Snow everywhere. Wouldn't that be so cool to see that come to pass? I think that would be great. That would be very exciting.
I don't know if it's going to pass literally or just figuratively.
Right.
But yes, I think that is one of the things that's going to play kind of a major role.
Getting chills kind of thinking about it.
Chills because it's foggy. Cold front.
Puns. Metaphors and puns.
Yep, that's us.
Finally.
Yes.
Let's talk about, do you have any opinions on the news that both Game of Thrones and Westworld are going to skip this year's San Diego Comic-Con in July?
Well, I think it kind of makes sense just because, you know, they will probably only have just wrapped season 8 for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And so they're not really going to be able to say, and here's a sizzle reel, or here's a trailer. Like,
they could say something.
They could say something, but it probably wouldn't be very impressive.
I remember when I went to the concert experience before, months and months before season 7.
Right.
They had just a little video showing some behind the scenes stuff.
Exactly.
And a line that was missing, and that sent people crazy. Like, anything they show would work.
Right, but you know, you think if you're going to do it at San Diego Comic-Con, because, you know, not only are the people there going to be pushing each other to get in there, people all around the world are going to be like, what is Game of Thrones doing? So I think it's
Wouldn't
almost...
Wouldn't you want that?
No, actually. I think it's a smarter play for them to skip it and be like, we're not going to show you anything yet. Like, you know, it's not to the debacle of watching a block of ice melt to try and get the premiere date.
Never forget.
Never. But I think it achieves the goal of keeping people excited and hype because there's still a mystery about what season 8 is going to look like, while at the same time not making us watch a block of ice melt.
I have a different theory. I think they're being cowardly and they don't want to risk anybody giving anything away.
That,
I mean,
too.
I think it's a perfect time. All the cast members will be raw from just filming the season. They'll be on edge. They'll want to pour out their hearts. I think it would be a good show.
Maybe
I want to ask some questions.
Maybe they just want a vacation.
They can have one. It's just a day.
Oh, well, I suppose. And for Westworld,
that's even weirder to me. I mean, their season's going to wrap up sooner. They're not going to go back to filming for a little bit,
I
assume.
Right. They probably don't have any plans for season 3.
HBO did say. Oh, really? You think they're going to shoot in the dark?
I went there.
They did say HBO has a long-standing relationship with SDCC, and we are very grateful for the fans' enthusiastic response over the years.
Right.
We look forward to returning in the future.
Which is to say they don't have any plans for Westworld Season 3.
Whoa, that is a bold claim.
No, I'm sure they actually do have plans for Season 3. I'm just being sassy because I have a lot of trouble with Westworld these days. But that's another show, too.
It is.
But yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. It's a careful dance of what to reveal and what to not reveal, for yet another metaphor. So it's kind
what
of,
is a metaphor?
They're trying to lead us, but they can't lead us too much by getting us too hype, or else the dance is going to end prematurely and then we're all going to be bored for the next 6 months.
Well, I say bring it on. You guys have any opinions? San Diego Comic-Con? Lack of Game of Thrones? Is it conspiracy or is it just coincidence? We'll see. Anyway, Cheryl, any other thoughts on
any of
this stuff?
Put on your tinfoil hats. It's definitely conspiracy.
Put on your
tinfoil
hats. We're gonna... I saw that in New York this past weekend, so it's in my head. I'm sorry. 8 points, we can name that song.
I know what song it is.
I know.
So.
Anyway, should I have any other thoughts?
No, I'm good. I'm very excited about this fog thing now, but I'm still convinced it's
poor
just
King's
weather.
Landing, man. It's just going
to
be
no, King's Landing deserves to be broken.
All right.
But, all right.
Thank you very much, Cheryl.
Bye, everyone.
Till next Wednesday at 4. Yep. And now we'd like to bring on fan-sided editor extraordinaire Josh Hill for our weekly segment, A Song of Dan and Josh, where Josh and I walk through every single chapter of A Song of Ice and Fire. I've read all the books multiple times. Josh has never read the books. We analyze the chapters, break them down. What makes them work? What's good about them? What's great about them? What's bad about them? And bring our literary analysis to you. Read along with us. Join us. Have fun with us. And we're still on a Game of Thrones, and we have read John 7,
yes.
A.K.A. John meets a zombie. Josh,
John,
how you doing
fights
today?
A zombie. I'm doing good, Dan. Hello, everybody out there who've read this chapter with us, hopefully. Is anybody reading along? That'd be fun.
I know some folks have said they're reading along. I'm not sure how many people are, but yeah, it'd be very cool if they read along.
Yeah.
Because we need to bring, we're going to personally bring literary analysis back into mainstream. We're going to go national with this, and it's going to be a huge thing to set off. We're going to teach people to love to read.
Con of Thrones next year, there will be a panel. Literacy is back.
I'd do it. Anyway, John 7. We only need one chapter because I was busy.
Yep.
You think it was a good chapter?
Yeah.
What were your overall thoughts? Keep me with a thought.
So straight away, just the whole, I mean, we have to talk about the end of the chapter first, because that's the most exciting thing. I mean, there was things in there like John's learning more about the Ned Stark treason narrative.
Yeah, that was a big part of it. Like, down.
And we find out where the Black Hand came from, or the hand that the ghost had, which actually ties into the end of the chapter, the Whites. So the zombie fight. And there, it was actually a little terrifying reading it. It was very descriptive.
I wrote down this bit, like, where John is, the whole chapter is about They go out in the forest. They find some dead Night's Watchmen, possibly Benjen Stark's men. They bring them back. They don't know yet that they're going to rise in the middle of the night and seek vengeance on the living. But one does.
Yep.
And Jon tussles with it. And it is a pretty terrifying fight. It's when Jon opened his mouth to scream, the White jammed its black corpse fingers into Jon's mouth. Gagging, he tried to shove it off, but the dead man was too heavy. Its hand forced itself farther down his throat, icy cold, choking him. Mm-hmm. Like, not only is that just, like, that's horrible to think about. I haven't seen that really done in other zombie movies. Like, you know, I've watched my share.
Yeah.
But that's a new take, trying to shove the hand into the mouth.
That's like a new take on fighting in general. Like, it's the idea that you're up against this undead zombie nasty looking thing is terrifying enough, but just the act of it like trying to shove its hand in your mouth is like a fighting tactic, is something that I've never
it's
really
so violative
of. Yeah, and like that's I could almost like when I was reading it like taste it in my mouth like some like chalky ice like I don't know what zombie fingers taste like, but I would imagine it's probably like cold and
icy cold choking him. Hey, that's good writing. If you can feel it in your throat when the zombie's choking Jon Snow, that's good writing.
Right. And it was just like very uncomfortable to read. Not in like I want to stop reading, but like in a visceral way. It's not the first time it's happened in the book too. There's been other instances here where it's George R. R. Martin's been so descriptive.
Found some unique detail.
Yeah.
It's good because I mean zombies are in a way they're kind of played out almost. Like there's been so many and you have to find like a new angle on them. And it seems like he does.
Yeah.
By the way, Chantel asks, anybody know when the new season's going to start? Nobody knows, Chantel. We're all just waiting. Let's go back to the start of the chapter.
Yeah.
So it starts when John and Sam and just the Night's Watchmen are all following Ghost and his dead hand to find these dead Night's Watchmen corpses.
Yep.
And they find them. I like this one line where John's looking at the corpses. And they're probably Benjen Stark's men. Mm-hmm. Benjen's nowhere to be found. My uncle's men, John thought numbly. He remembered how he'd pleaded to ride with them. God, so I was such a green boy back then, which I kind of liked because it's been like 3 months since like the last time when saw Benjen. And he's still pretty green. But it rang true because, I mean, when you're young and cocky like that, you think like, 3 months ago was ages ago. Like it hasn't changed that much. I think... And Martin plays with that when he sees the bodies and, like, he can't handle it almost, John. John could feel his breakfast churning in his belly, but he pressed his lips together and managed and made himself look at the second body. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, you know, how hard can you really be if your job is to kill wildlings and zombies and right. you can't stand the sight of one? So he still has a ways to go.
Yeah.
But I like that he thinks of himself as, like, grizzled now. Yeah. I think it's a good character beat.
It's like the Stand By Me or whatever. They see a dead body, and it's like, nah, boys became men that day. It's like John grew up when he saw the dead drive a car.
Anyway, they go on. Sam, proving his worth, points out that it's weird that there's no blood on the scene. Mm-hmm. And just the whole thing is pretty eerily written. Mm-hmm. Like, we have the things like the dogs and the horses not liking them, mm-hmm. a classic zombie bit or just supernatural bit. And the movie's like where the dog starts barking because there's some kind of, it always happens.
Yeah.
No exception here. although I, what'd you think of this whole bit where they're going out beyond the wall and finding the stuff? The plot points.
It was kind of a lot like the end of the chapter in that it was, the writing really
Real quick though, just Lauren Groth asked, what book and chapter are you on? Lauren, we are on A Game of Thrones, John 7, when John meets his first white.
Yep.
Okay, go on.
No, but it's like it really set the mood. Like, you talk about the zombie, or the white, I should call them zombies, but sticking the fingers down John's throat and everything like that. You could almost taste it. And same here, it was like very chilled. Like, you could feel like you're the hair rising on your arms a little bit, the goosebumps, because you feel it's very... a very cold setting that George R. R. Martin has. Very, like you said, eerie, mysterious. It could almost like, I mean, I know we see it on the show, but as I was reading it, this is like the most vividly imagined chapter that I have had, where it's just everything's on that blue tint, and it's like the white snow, and you can see like the fog and the air blowing, and it's just there's, you know, you got the dead bodies, but everything around it, the world, Earth is just dead. So like that's kind of like a very like poignant writing, I think.
I'm not sure if you've noticed this, but like everything I've ever read, like Martin has a great way of vividly describing cold.
Yeah.
Like I don't know like where he finds the words, but like I remember his descriptions of cold more than I could do other things. Like the way it seeps inside you, eats it from the inside out, the iciness. He's very good at it. It's useful because a lot of his story deals with cold. So just I like that part of it. Anyway, they trek him back, and the other big part of this chapter, apart from the zombie fight, is Jon Snow grappling with the news that Ned Stark has been taken prisoner. Mm-hmm. One quick point, I always make this point, but, I mean, the last three chapters were Ned gets arrested, and then Sansa and Arya deal with the aftermath.
Yeah.
One chapter later, the Wall already knows, and they're working through the consequences. Mm-hmm. Again, I love that. I love that this is pretty snappy, that we're not wasting too much time with in-between stuff. Happens in chapter one. We get the consequence of chapter two. That's nice. And again, it won't happen later books, but I just keep foreshadowing that. How is John feeling about this when he hears the news? How does he react?
It was a mixture of, at least the way I read it, denial. He's like, there's no way.
This is my
father, or so he thinks. Like, this is my father figure, I guess.
An honorable kind of guy.
Yeah, there's no way that he could have done this.
And recall, in the story he's getting is that Ned tried to usurp the throne
treasonous.
And take it. It's not the real thing that we saw, where it was much more complicated and nuanced.
Which I did like, because we talk about the North being so far up and word traveling. So in the one chapter we have Ned and all this stuff happening, and now the story is already...
It's starting to morph.
Yeah, he's trying to overthrow the throne and all this kind of stuff. And you can see, even though they're not in the chapters, Cersei and all of the inner workings that she
has. Littlefinger, everybody.
Yeah, you want to talk about the cold, just kind of like going across Westeros all the way to the north. And like,
very nice.
I like that. It was very, again, with George R. R. Martin with the subtle details. It's like, oh, okay. Because it's like, we're in John's head. Nothing to do with anything in King's Landing. Hasn't been to King's Landing. No way of knowing. But in the back of your mind, I can imagine, like, you know, like a Family Guy cutaway or something. Like, Cersei and everybody doing everything, getting the word out, and then cut back to Jon. It's already reached him at the wall. And then it's like a game of telephone. Like, how many times has the story changed as it's gone from the south to the north? Right. So.
Well, I mean, who's writing the letters? It's Cersei. The people who won. They're not putting... You know, Ned nobly tried to expose my incest, and then they're putting their version of the story, which is he's terrible, he's treasonous, and we put him in jail. Like, that's the version they're going to sell, obviously. It's a whole, you know, the old cliche, history written by the victors. Like, yeah. that's what's happening here. They're trying to make the narrative. It's like in the show, and remember that play Arya watched?
Yep.
And it's just the version of what happened in King's Landing, but again, the Lannister version of it, where the Lannisters are all really nice, and Ned's a treacherous buffoon. That's beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunately how Ned's going to be remembered.
Yeah.
For better, for worse, I guess. Anyway, yeah, he is very conflicted. How could they think his father was a traitor? Had they all gone mad, Lord Eddard Stark would never dishonor himself. Would he? Mm-hmm. He fathered a bastard, a small voice whispered inside him. Where is the honor in that? And your mother, what of her? You'll not even speak her name. So he is a conflicted bastard.
Yeah, the angel and the devil on the shoulder. Like, he's my dad. It's like, but he's your bastard father. It's like...
He nafty. Anyway, so the Lord Commander Mormont calls him in.
Yep.
And he tells him to not do anything stupid. Mm-hmm. What's he talking about there? Like, what stupid thing might Jon do?
I thought it would be something like leave and try to fix things.
I did too, actually, when I first read it.
The fixing it, I think, is just more or less not letting your emotions get to you and not letting this thing become bigger than what you are, because it is something he can't help. This is all the way in the South. Whether or not he thinks his father or Ned did this, didn't do this, how he feels he's being treated, whether he should believe it or not, how people around him interpret it, which is another big part of the chapter, that shouldn't affect his job because he's part of the Night's Watch.
Exactly.
That is his duty. He needs to be focused on that and that alone. So that kind of mentorship going back and forth there.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to be nice to Jon. Actually, everyone's trying to be nice to Jon. I thought it was kind of sweet the way, like, Jon is kind of going about his business, but everybody knows.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows what happened to his dad.
Well, then there's Thorne throughout Sir Alistair Thorne.
Most people are nice.
Most people.
Like, you know, we get this whole little sequence where he's in, like, the mess hall.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hob the cook gives him an extra helping of venison stew, which is cute.
Yeah.
Sam offers to pray with him beyond the wall, even though Sam's terrified of everything beyond the wall, especially beyond the wall. One of the guards, like, we don't even have a name, just tells him to be strong. Which it's hang in there, kid, like
you
that
got
kind
this.
Of thing.
Yeah.
So everyone's trying to be really nice to him, which I actually think is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Like the Night's Watch looking out for their own, with the exception of Alistair Thorne.
Of course.
I think, what does he say? He says, like, oh, not just a bastard, but a traitor's bastard.
Yep.
At which point, Jon does the opposite of what the Lord Commander tells him to do. Does something stupid, attacks him, Alistair Thorne, and then he gets locked in a cell. Which is kind of set up for the whole zombie portion of the episode, where he has to kind of break out. And they have the bit where, like, again, the dogs. They love using dogs. The dogs, like, clawing at the door.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's up, boys? It's creepy. And then we get into that whole other very supernatural, very strange part of the chapter, which I thought was... Which, by the way, we leave unfinished.
Yeah.
Do you like that? Like, the end of the chapter is just Jon throws this, like, ball of flaming curtains at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last line is, like, please let it burn. And then we cut away.
Yeah. I got the impression of... Not to keep bringing it back to a Family Guy cutaway, but every time Peter fights the chicken, and then he's walking away, and the chicken's just dead, and then it'll, like, open its eye. And it's like at the end of a movie, like, you know, the bad guy's not really dead. I got that feeling from it here, even though it's not that played up, but that whole, is it dead? Is it not dead? Is this the end? So I like that we ended on a little bit of open-endedness.
Sure.
It's because it is almost a greater theme to... These aren't going anywhere. These whites and the White Walkers and all that, it's not going anywhere. It's going to be a big thing. So kind of not killing this one is metaphorically being like, there's more to come. So I liked it.
Yeah. It's also like, I mean, this one white did a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And like knowing that we're going to have an army of them, it's an intense way. It's a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
I had another point, but I completely forgot it. Yeah, whites, they're bad. They're scary. Before we sign off, I'd like to read a bit on page 558 where Jon remembers stuff old Nan used to tell him about the Long Night. And I was reading it, and I'm like, hey, old Nan described the spinoff. Because this is the Long Night, the Age of Heroes, basically.
Okay.
Is what it's going to be about. This is old Nan describing to Jon the first time the White Walkers came. In that darkness, the others came riding. Cold and dead they were, and they hated iron and fire and the touch of the sun, and every living creature with hot blood in its veins. Hold fast in cities and kingdoms of men, all fell before them, as they moved south on pale dead horses, leading hosts of the slain. They fed their dead servants with the flesh of human children, dot, 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 and then he gets distracted. But the point is... And I was reading that, like, oh, like, that's what the spinoff's going to be about. Huh. So kudos, old Nan, for being way ahead of your time.
There you go.
And foreshadowing all that. By the way, in the comments, Wendy says they haven't aired season 7 yet, so we're talking about season 8. I'm confused. They actually have aired season 7, Wendy. Aired last year, and they're making season 8. So, for better or worse, we're on to the end. Anyway, any other thoughts on John 7? John meets a zombie?
No. It was a very visceral chapter. So
yeah, he's pretty good at that. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason it takes long to write. He does take the time to really... I don't know, describe things in minute detail. Mm-hmm. So much that you taste it in your mouth.
Yep.
Next, let's go back to two chapters, I think.
Okay.
We can do the next Bran. And then after that... Uh-oh, it's long. And then a Daenerys.
Ooh, back to Daenerys.
Back to Daenerys. We'll see you all here next week at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time for more Game of Thrones news, more Song of Ice and Fire discussion, and more of A Song of Dan and Josh. Thanks, everyone, for watching, and we'll see you next week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.